May 21st. Here's a philosophical question I've been pondering. Do I want to live to be 100? If I lived like Maisie Baker McGrath, I might just say yes. But I suspect Maisie is the exception to the rule, at least for now. One day, maybe 100 will be the new 60. Right now, at least from evidence gathered on hallway C at the Ashland Woods Retirement Community Home, 100 is still very much 100, which is to say very, very old and not very active. Except, again, if you're Maisie Baker McGrath. "Excuse me if I don't get up," she greeted me and Jean when we walked into her room, which was surprisingly spacious and airy. Maisie was sitting behind a sewing machine set into a large sewing cabinet that took up nearly a third of the room. The rest of the room included a narrow adjustable bed and two cozy chairs with a small table between them. "Jean, go fetch you and this lady some tea from the common room. They just got a new electric kettle, so use that. Jean's friend, tell me your name again. Marvell? Marcy?" "I'm Marnie Fetzer," I introduced myself. "I'm so happy to meet you." Maisie waved off my enthusiastic greeting. "I'm no great shakes, believe you me." "You'll do in a pinch," Jean told her mother. "Can I bring you anything, Mom? Tea? Coffee?" "Nah, I'll just spill it." Maisie held up a hand. "I get a little shaky sometimes." She didn't look the least bit shaky to me. She looked steady and wizened and a little bit fierce. "What are you working on, Mrs. McGrath?" I asked, which earned me another dismissive wave. "I'm Maisie. Always have been, always will be. And I'm working on a cathedral window. It's a replica of the one my aunt made way back in the day. That quilt was in my possession for many years, and my granddaughter remembers it fondly, so I'm making her a copy." "What happened to the original quilt?" I asked, adjusting one of the cozy chairs so it faced the sewing cabinet. "Somebody stole it, if you can believe such a thing. I was doing a trunk show. September of 1994. I remember it because it was the last trunk show I did for many years, believe you me. I used to make a little extra money going here and there, a guild in Cleveland or a quilt show in Cincinnati. People were getting interested in quilts again." "Oh, some people never lost their interest, of course, myself being one of them. But then the International Quilt Festival started up, and suddenly quilting was back in the air. People had read about me and my quilt collection in that Ohio Quilters book and started inviting me to talk at meetings and festivals. I'd retired by then, and the kids had been grown and gone for years, and I had a great collection of quilts. So I thought, why not? Owen would come with me and help set up." Her voice caught at the mention of her husband. "We had us a time on those trips, Owen and I did. We never went all that far, but we always looked for interesting things to do and see wherever we went. We never stopped traveling, even after I stopped doing shows. Which, like I said, happened after Aunt Eula's quilt got stolen. I have no idea how it happened, or how it could happen. We didn't even realize it was gone till we got home. I used to bring 2 dozen quilts with me, and it never occurred to me to make sure they'd all been packed up for the trip home. I just assumed they'd be there. Who on earth would be low down enough to steal a quilt?" As Maisie went on to tell me about her granddaughter, Heather, and how she'd loved quilts since she was a little girl, which just went to show that some things skip a generation, since none of Maisie's own children had ever developed a love of quilts or quilting. "Oh, it broke Heather's heart when that cathedral window got stolen. I've always meant to make a copy of it, but life gets in the way of our best laid plans, now don't it?" I liked listening to Maisie talk. There was something Southern in her vows, which you sometimes hear with older people around here. "Where's your family originally from?" I asked her when she'd finished the sad story of the stolen quilt. "Kentucky?" Maisie grinned. "Almost heaven, West Virginia. Not me personally, but my mother was, and my Aunt Eula's people were. Now, Owen's people have been in Ohio forever. His mother used to go on and on about it, like they'd come over to Milton Falls on the Mayflower. My kids sound more like him, more Midwestern." As if on cue, Jean returned with the tea. "They've got donuts, Mom. Want me to fix you a plate?" "From the grocery store, or did that attendant who lives in Milton Falls bring them over from Crum?" Maisie wanted to know. "Because if they're from the grocery store, don't bother. Not worth the calories." "You're the last person in the world who needs to worry about calories," Jean chided her mother. "In fact, if I recall correctly, Dr. Mangum wants you to put on 5 pounds by the end of the year." "You didn't answer my question," Maisie pointed out. "Well, they look pretty fancy," Jean told her. "If they're not from Crum, they're from Wilco's Bakery in Central Square." Maisie's face brightened. "Oh, those are good, too. Marnie, can I interest you in a donut or three?" When I told her yes, she slapped her hand on top of her sewing machine. "Now that's what I like, a woman who's not afraid of a donut." I think it's safe to say that Maisie Baker McGrath and I got along just fine. Even better news, she says she'll think about doing an exhibit of her quilts at the museum when it opens. "Well, I'd like to include some other quilts in my collection, ones that I didn't make myself, if you think that would be okay," she told me. "And if you don't think they'd get stolen." "I'll guard them myself," I promised her. "I can't wait to tell Haley Wilde and the others at the Quilt Museum board meeting next week. This is going to be big, very big. I'm so excited that I may have trouble sleeping tonight." Except that Maisie told me that one of the keys to longevity is an active nap life. "Which sounds like a contradiction in terms, I know," she conceded. "But you have to make naps a priority. Naps and walks and quilts." I love naps and walks, and now all I want to do is make quilts. Not in order to live to be 100, but just for the joy of making them. That's the thing. Maisie seems like she has a lot of joy in her life. She makes being nearly 100 look like fun. Well, anything that includes donuts is going to be fun, right? Quality donuts, that is. And yes, diary, the donuts were from Crum and they were delicious. June 4th. I can't believe it's been 2 weeks since I've written anything. There's been so much going on. The twins finished up preschool for the year, so of course we had to attend the 5-day threes graduation on Monday. 5-day threes are 3-year-olds who go to school Monday through Friday. Next year, Taylor and Tyler will be 5-day fours, and after that, kindergartners! Do I even need to say that kids grow up so fast? I know I don't, but I will, because it never ceases to amaze me. I had Guild this past Tuesday. Carpooled with Sheila, of course. On the way over, Sheila updated me on the store. Carol Wolseley is now the assistant manager and doing a bang-up job from all reports. "The only problem is, I think she's about to stage a coup," Sheila told me as we pulled into the church parking lot. "She has so many ideas, and I can tell it frustrates her when I reject any of them. Yesterday, she suggested we put in a magazine rack, but I don't want a magazine rack in the store. We sell Quilt Folk in Selvidge because we've had customers ask us to. But people can get all the other magazines online or at the grocery store.
How does she react when you put the kibosh on her suggestions? I asked. As usual, we were 10 minutes early for the guild meeting. Sheila has a phobia about being late, having grown up with chronically late parents. So we had time to chat.
She gets this strange expression on her face. Her lips twitch and she narrows her eyes. And then she gives me a gentle smile and says, "That's okay, Sheila. That's perfectly fine."
"Oh, she's definitely plotting against you," I agreed.
If she sounded disappointed or resigned, I wouldn't be the least bit worried, Sheila said. But that's not her vibe at all. It's much more, "I'll get you, my little pretty, and your little dog, too."
"Good thing for you, you've got Emily there to protect you," I said. Sheila's eyes widened.
"Oh, Marn, I can't believe I haven't told you this."
"Emily quit?"
"No, she's making a quilt."
"Oh, Sheila, it finally happened. One of your daughters is finally making a quilt," I exclaimed. "It's every mother's dream, or at least every mother who quilts. How did you convince her?" Sheila laughed.
"I've never convinced Emily of anything in my entire life. But Marnie, I always knew that of all my girls, she'd make the best quilter. She's always been creative, and she's got a great eye for color."
"So what happened?"
"Well, she's been working the counter more. In part, it's because she hates being stuck in the back. But it's also because we've needed her help. The Memorial Day sale was crazy. And interestingly, Emily's great with the customers, and she does a bang-up job of cutting yardage. A few weeks ago, she decided she needed to educate herself about quilting in order to provide better customer service. So she started watching old episodes of Fonz and Porter. Do you remember how, when Liz Porter retired, Marianne Fonz's daughter took her place? Mary Fonz? Well, Emily watched a few of those mother-daughter episodes and it..."
Sheila paused. She sounded like she might cry, and then she was crying.
"It inspired her. She told me.
Another pause while Sheila collected herself.
"Emily told me that she suddenly saw it. That I'm Marianne Fonz and she's Mary Fonz. Mary Fonz didn't get interested in quilting until she was in her late 20s, even though her mother was one of the biggest names in quilting. And then one day, she did. Emily feels the same way. So she's making a quilt."
I put my hand over my heart. It finally happened. Emily finally saw the light. Sheila nodded, clearly too overcome by emotion to speak. I almost suggested that instead of going to our meeting, we go to Linway's to celebrate. But I had just picked up my wagon wheel quilt from the Long Armor, so of course I wanted to show it at Show and Tell. Well, 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 Marnie Fetzer finished a quilt, Marianne Knight announced an hour later as I joined the Show and Tell line. "I didn't know that you made quilts anymore."
"Ignore her,"
Betsy Wiggins, who was in line behind me, whispered. "The only quilts Marianne makes anymore are those jelly roll race quilts. She's just jealous because you challenge yourself." Now, I've made a jelly roll race quilt a time or two myself. If you need to make a quilt fast, because someone has just gotten a terrible diagnosis or broken a leg or just, for whatever reason, just needs a quilt, what could be easier than unfurling some jelly rolls and sewing the strips together?
Not every quilt has to be a work of art, but almost any quilt is a comfort. Still, Betsy wasn't wrong. Mary Ann's quilting mojo seems to have faded in the last few years. As Sheila would say, she's quilting for the company, i.e., quilting gives her an excuse to get together with friends and be a part of something. Nothing wrong with that. But you'd think it would keep Mary Ann from being critical of other people's output. But nothing keeps Mary Ann from being critical or opening her big mouth. Heaven forbid she not let her opinions be known far and wide. "You always have 3 or 4 quilts every month," I said to Mary Ann. "It must be nice to be so productive." "I take my hobby seriously," she replied, "unlike other people I know." It was interesting to look around and see how people responded to Mary Ann's use of the word hobby. Her voice was loud enough so that everybody heard her. The Peacemaker's small contingent of art quilters looked appalled, of course. On the other end of the spectrum was Mary Ann's crew, the Jelly Roll Racers and Just One Pack Charm Square Quilters, who looked triumphant. Let me be clear to any future readers of this diary. I am not against charm packs, jelly rolls, or layer cakes. I spent most of the early aughts using nothing but jelly rolls and layer cakes, because there were so many cute patterns for them. I gave them as presents to quilter friends all of the time, and am still very happy when Santa puts a few jelly rolls under the tree for me on Christmas morning. I'm not against anything that has to do with quilt making. Whatever floats your boat, whatever makes you happy, etc., etc. But I do not appreciate being judged for being a touch on the slow side. And yes, I have more than my fair share of WIPs at the moment. But that's because I'm excited about quilting. I'm excited about trying new things. Also, I've been a little distracted the last year or so, what with the twins and a new grandbaby, and opening a quilt shop with my best friend, and then joining the board of Milton Falls Future Quilt Museum. A lot has been going on. It may be too much. But what would I give up? None of it. But it has led to a more erratic quilting life. I have to say, I really enjoyed not just making the wagon wheel quilt, but finishing it in a reasonable amount of time, a month from beginning to end. I'd like to finish a few more quilts this year, to be honest. But not because Mary Ann Knight bullied me into it. "I can't think of the last time I finished a quilt," Sheila said on the ride home, "even though I feel like I'm sewing constantly. But it's mostly sample blocks for classes and to show off fabric. The other girls at the shop are the ones who actually finish the quilts to hang up in the store." She sighed. "I heard this would happen, that I'd open a quilt shop and then never make a quilt again." "You and Emily could make quilts together," I suggested. "You could do mother-daughter quilts where you create a pattern together and then you work on the quilt together. You could do mother-daughter classes. You could..." My voice trailed off. What else could a mother-daughter team do? "We could be the next Mary Ann and Mary Fonz," Sheila practically shouted. "We could have our own TV show. Oh, Marnie, that's such a good idea. Thank you." "I'm pretty sure that was your idea," I said, "though I think it's a great one. After all, the shop already has its own YouTube channel." "And it's getting popular," Sheila said. "People are always saying in the comment section how much they like it. They like how friendly I am." She turned to look at me. "Do you think it's a problem that Emily's not very friendly?" "Oh, she is so much friendlier than she used to be," I pointed out. "But maybe the fact that she's not overly friendly is a selling point. The daughters watching the show might appreciate her general snarky attitude."
Sheila nodded. And her tattoos.
That too, I agreed. Just promise that you won't forget me when you become the country's most famous quilter.
I'm counting on you to not let fame and fortune go to my head, Sheila said.
I'll be your own personal Marianne Knight, I promised.
Well, everybody needs one, Sheila said. It keeps us humble. But really, you know all that junk, she says, it comes from a hurt place. At least that's what I keep telling myself.
And that's what I count on Sheila for, to remind me that sometimes really awful people have had really awful lives. Who knows why Marianne Knight is the way she is? I have no idea. So, as my grandmother Constance would have said, bless her heart. Bless her crooked little heart. Thank you so much for listening to Diary of a Mad Quilter and for being a Story Guild subscriber. Keep tuning in for more quilt fiction and more quilty fun.